Well, I'm excited. Can you tell? Oh, it's always exciting when we see people responding to how God is at work in their lives. And last week in our study of Acts chapter 9 verses 1 to 19, we looked at the events that happened around the conversion of the Apostle Paul, how his life was transformed by meeting Jesus on that road to Damascus, how he was turned from being a persecutor to being a preacher for the gospel. Just because he had that encounter with Jesus, and Jesus radically shifted his life. We looked last week at how the light of Christ's presence caused Saul to be transformed from darkness, the darkness of his old ways of being, to the light and the life that was in him in his relationship with Christ. A whole new way of being. Many years later, as Paul had been fulfilling the mission and the ministry that Jesus had called him to, many years later, Paul was writing to his brothers and sisters in the church in Galatia. And he used his story, this story of his conversion, to clarify what it meant to be a believer in Jesus Christ. That life-transforming event shaped his understanding of what it meant to be a Christian. In Galatians 1:11-24, he shares his experience of the risen Christ and its transforming effect on his life. Listen to what he says. He says, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human beings. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia. Later, I returned to Damascus, and then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. I saw none of the other apostles, only James, the Lord's brother. I assure you before God that what I am writing to you is no lie. Then I went to Syria and Cilicia. I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report. The man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they praise God because of me." You know, when we begin to talk about the transforming effect of the gospel in people's lives, you know, we generally use the term conversion. We talk of conversion, of a conversion experience. A time in our lives when we have undergone a tremendous change in our orientation with God. You know, the word conversion literally means turning or a changeover, Something has turned. Something has changed in our life. And at that moment, we see things differently. Years ago in Great Britain, during the time that they were changing from coal gas to natural gas, people spoke of being converted to natural gas. Today, we talk about being converted from fossil fuels to alternative energy sources. That's kind of what this word conversion has in mind. But when we apply it to the Christian life, this word conversion means that we are moved from one way of living to another, from a life of ungodliness to a life of holiness, from a life lived without reference to God to one which we puts God, puts Jesus at the very center of our lives. That's what this idea of moving from darkness to light, being converted from darkness to light, is all about. That's what we looked at last week. So let's look for a moment again at Paul's conversion experience and how it validated the gospel of Jesus Christ that he proclaimed. Because, you know, when we are converted from one thing to another, it means that we take on a whole new way of life, and that new way of life validates what has brought us to that place of conversion, that change in our life, that transformation. So in Galatians 1, 13 and 14, we see how Paul shares some of the details of his conversion experience. He refers to his previous way of life in Judaism, how he intensely persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. He had been zealous in his beliefs and practices of Judaism. He'd been sold out to his traditions. His description of his past life here in Philippians is also found in Philippians chapter 4, 3, verses 4 and 6, which indicates that he was totally sold out to what he believed previously. It was his life. It was his heritage. It was his passion. His whole life was centered around advancing in Judaism, following the letter of the law, the traditions of his fathers, the laws of Moses and the prophets, not to gain favor with God, but to be oriented or obedient to what he believed at that time God had commanded him to do to preserve the identity and purity of God's chosen people. His whole life was centered around being passionate for what he believed to be true at that time. Paul was zealous to protect the purity of his Jewish culture and religious identity from the secularizing pressures of the Roman Gentiles, and also to protect his Judaism from any false teachers that he thought was Jesus, a false teacher. And so Saul was zealous in his faith and in his practice. And from his own testimony, he was a fundamentalist Orthodox Jew who was willing to go to extreme lengths to preserve what he believed. So what shifted? What shifted Saul from this mindset, this pursuit? What caused this man who was so entrenched to turn 180 degrees to embrace a whole new way of living in relationship with God, and then to teach others that Jesus Christ was Lord? What was it? Simply put, it was that he met Jesus personally. He came to a personal understanding of who Jesus was. Jesus revealed himself to him. Everything changed in that moment. He says, God who set him apart from birth and called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son in me so that he might preach, so that I might preach Christ, he says, among the Gentiles. God's hand was on him. His experience of the risen Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 22 was the turning point in his life. After meeting Christ face to face and experiencing the grace of God to forgive his sins, Paul was filled with a transformed purpose. His zeal was no longer for preserving the traditions of Judaism with their emphasis on the law. He was now committed, zealous to proclaiming the law, that the law had found its fulfillment, his completion in Jesus, and that the promised blessings of God was now open to all who would by faith receive Jesus Christ as Lord. What a transformation. Through his encounter with Christ, Paul learned that his identity as a member of God's family was not based on his adherence to the traditions of Judaism, but by faith in the person of Jesus Christ, who was the fulfillment of all of God's promises in the Old Testament and through the prophets. The way Paul now lived and the gospel he now preached was the result of his personal encounter with Jesus Christ. His conversion experience transformed his beliefs, his values, and his entire purpose for his life. Total transformation. You know, as we consider Paul's Damascus Road experience, we need to keep in mind something, though. That not every single person who comes to know Jesus Christ, not everybody will have that kind of dramatic conversion experience. We'll all have a conversion experience one way or another, but it won't all be the same as the Apostle Paul, like a blinding light and an immediate transformation. Some are converted over several years and through various experiences, like the Apostle Peter was. Some are called to be, some are called because of a series of events and experiences in their life. And still others have had a conversion or a call for which they cannot even find a beginning. You may find yourself somewhere in that experience. But you know, Paul's conversion is not a prototype for all people. But there are some things that we can learn from his experience about the nature of conversion and about our own experience in Christ. From Paul's experience, we can learn three things. There are three elements to any conversion experience, whether it's sudden or whether it's over a longer period of time. These three elements will be found. First of all, there's an awareness of our need. An awareness of our need. Within any genuine conversion experience, there's a sense that something is missing in our life. It's been said that no one can come to faith in Jesus without that sense that something is missing. There's just something off about my life that's just not right now. I believe it was Billy Graham that first expressed this reality by saying that there's a God-shaped vacuum within each and every one of us that only Christ can fill. And so it's no wonder that, you know, at some point, if we're going to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we've got to recognize that there's just this emptiness inside of us without God. So to be converted, each one of us must come to that point of recognizing our spiritual need. What is that? Now, this may take on many different forms for different people. For some, it may be a consciousness of our moral failure, an inability to overcome temptations and desires and just those sins just that are overwhelming. And you come to that place where you just realize, I can't handle this anymore. I'm just so overwrought with sin in my life. All the inklings of my heart are evil all the time. Something has to change. For others, it might be an awareness of the frustration or the futility of life. Your life just doesn't seem to be going, it just seems to be a going through the motions. It just seems like there's just this emptiness that you just can't fill. Have no real sense of purpose in your life. And still others, it might be a realization that life has no meaning unless God is brought into the picture. Again, there's many different ways that we come to that realization of our need before God, but every single one of us who has faith in Jesus Christ had to come to that place at some point in our life. And all of these things show that our longing for God will find its expression. This was true of the disciples who encountered Jesus in the New Testament. Mary Magdalene, her need for Jesus was to cast out demons and to bring worth and value in her life. It was different than the Apostle Peter who was always just getting himself into all kinds of difficulty, jumping into things and you know, just being impulsive in his life. Angry, full of anger. His needs. Then there was Paul. Different than Peter. But each and every one of them, when they came to that awareness of their need before God, they recognized, they saw that Jesus was the answer to that need. It's interesting in Acts chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, that when Jesus spoke to Saul, he confronted him at his point of need. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" It wasn't until Paul met Jesus face to face that he became aware of his misplaced zeal for the traditions of Judaism and his nationalistic fervor that led him to be someone who was filled with hatred toward anyone Roman or Jewish who would threaten his understanding of what it meant to be within the family of God. Through his encounter with Jesus, he became aware of his need to be forgiven for the sin of persecuting the church, persecuting God himself, trying to destroy Jesus' impact on the world. You know, whenever Paul speaks of his former way of life, it's really interesting when you look at it. His expression, he expresses no remorse over the fact that his life was devoted to God as a Jewish person. He embraced his Judaism. It was transformed, but he does express his tremendous regret that his passion for Judaism turned him into a persecutor, a monstrous murderer of the church. And for this, he needed God's forgiveness. He needed to repent and turn his heart over to Jesus. You know, the first element in genuine conversion is an awareness of our own need before God. The second element of conversion is our willingness to do something about that need. Willingness to turn away from our sin or our empty way of life. You know, conversion is all about our willingness to do that, to turn from our sin and to seek God's mercy and his grace through repentance. Repentance, the Greek word, means to turn around or to have a change of heart an attitude. It means you've been walking one direction and you stop and you turn around and you start walking in the other direction towards God. And this repentance involves being sincerely sorry for our sin and being willing to change the direction of our life, to turn our life in God's direction. When Paul was brought face to face with his sins and with the risen Christ, he had a choice to make. Choice. He could yield to the work of God's grace in his life by acknowledging that he had an incomplete understanding of the ways of God, that he had been wrong to reject Jesus as Messiah, and that he had been wrong to persecute those who had followed Jesus. Or he could choose to remain in his state of spiritual blindness, to receive the grace of God that was given to him in Christ. He had to choose to renounce his spiritual blindness, to turn away from his past life and his sin. And again, it's interesting that because of his encounter with the brightness of Jesus' risen glory, Paul was left physically blind for 3 days. As we thought about that last week, I'm sure in those 3 days, Paul reflected inwardly on everything that he believed and had done in his pursuit of his cause. And so after that 3 days of deconstructing, as David reminded us last week, after deconstructing all of those things that he had held on to for so long, he came to that place when Ananias came to pray with him and lay hands on him. Paul was ready to yield his life to Jesus. His eyes were healed. He was baptized and was filled with the Holy Spirit. Beautiful conversion, transformation. A genuine conversion experience is marked by a willingness to move away from our sin and move toward God. Which brings us to the third element of conversion that we see in the Apostle Paul's conversion. You know, turning from our sin is one thing, but it's not what saves us. Turning from our sin is the first step. But that's not what saves us. What saves us is this. Jesus called us to repent and believe. Believe the gospel. Believe in Jesus. You know, a person must accept Jesus as who he claimed to be and receive him as their Savior and Lord of their lives if they are to be saved. It means making a declaration of faith, like Lydia and Bakari did today through the waters of baptism. It's saying, I believe in Jesus, the one who has redeemed me, the one who has washed away my sins, the one who I put my trust in, who can receive the confessions of my heart, the repentance of my heart, and then come into my life because I believe. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. By a conscious decision and declaration, we turn our back on our old life, and we then enter into a new life based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. We become a disciple, a follower of Jesus, someone willing to learn to live according to his ways, with his purposes as our purposes. You know, it's evidence from Paul's conversion experience that in the days shortly after his encounter with Christ, that he fully embraced Jesus as Lord of his life. In Acts chapter 9, verse 20, we are told that when he showed up in the synagogue in Damascus, it's interesting because remember he was on his way to Damascus with letters, you know, to persecute the church. But when he actually showed up in the synagogue, he wasn't there to arrest any believers. He went there to boldly proclaim that Jesus was the Son of God. That is an amazing transformation in such a very, very short time. And as he stayed in Damascus for a time, Luke tells us that Paul grew more and more powerful, and he baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus was the Christ. Indeed, so complete was Paul's conversion that when he looks back on his old way of life, many, many years later, he considers everything that he achieved in Judaism to be worthless compared to knowing Christ and following his call upon his life. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14, this was his testimony. He says, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." You know, when I read this passage, what really strikes me about Paul's testimony as he's looking back, as he's remembering how God has taken, how his journey with Jesus has just transformed his whole way of being, his whole way of acting in life. It just tells me that he took his calling to faith and his mission seriously. It absolutely transformed his life. After all that he had experienced, we can see from the passage in Galatians chapter 1 to verse 18 to 24 and this passage from Philippians that Paul's newfound faith in Jesus was not just a passing fad. It was something that was long-lasting. Long-lasting. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, Paul challenges us to consider his example as a pattern, to reorient our lives around and the grace, to reorient our lives around the grace of God that's been revealed to us in Christ. He says this to us. He says, "All of us who are mature in Christ should take such a view of things. And if anyone on some point you think differently, this too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have attained in Christ." Join with others in following my example, brothers and sisters, and take note of those who live according to the pattern that we give you. Because it's important for us to understand that faith comes into our life through this coming to know our need in our life, coming to that place where we are willing to yield our life over to Christ, and then that we're willing to follow Jesus all the days of our life. I have decided to follow Jesus, that song that we sang this morning. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, because nothing but the blood of Jesus saves us, transforms us, and carries us on in our faith and witness. The bottom line for our understanding of the nature of conversion, transformation, is this. Anyone who comes to an awareness of their spiritual need before God, who possesses a willingness to turn away from their sins and declares with their mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in their heart that God raised him from the dead, this person is someone who has experienced a life-transforming conversion. Is that you today? Have you come to that place in your life where you have recognized your need, that you've poured out your life to Jesus, and that you have declared your faith in him that will carry on in your life? If that's you, amen, praise the Lord. If it's not you this morning, if you recognize that you know you have not turned your life over to Jesus, made that step of faith in him, then I encourage you today to take that step, to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to declare your faith like Lydia, like Bakari have today. And let the Holy Spirit of God begin to work in your life, bringing you to that deeper, richer, fuller expression of life in the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ. You know, Paul's testimony in his letter to the Galatians is all about how people become part of the family of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and how through faith in Christ, we too can experience life in the Spirit. The kind of life that validates the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that has the power to transform a zealous persecutor like Paul into an apostle and preacher of the faith. Now, this is the same gospel, the same message about Jesus that has the power to transform you and to transform me. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this reminder that faith comes by hearing, and hearing is through the Word of God. And that as you speak into us the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, that we are brought face to face with who we are before you. And Lord Jesus, I just pray today that each one of us here today would not go away from this place without taking that step of receiving you as their Savior and Lord. And Lord, for each one of us who knows you and loves you, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help us to be people who declare our faith, not just on one occasion here or there, but Lord, every day, that you would help us to have that love, that desire to reach out to our neighbors who do not yet know you, do not even know that they don't know you, And Lord, help us to be witnesses to this life-transforming faith that has shaped us, molded us, changed us forever. Oh Lord, speak into us today. Continue to give us ears to hear and hearts to understand the things that you are speaking to us as your church. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.